Amen, amen, amen. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are great, that you are glorious, and not only that, but that you dwell with your people, that you move in our midst, and I ask God that you would continue to do so now. Make our hearts and our minds receptive to your word, and I ask God that you would give us a picture of you that transcends who we think that you are, and that you would cause our hearts to respond and be drawn near to you. We ask these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Good morning, Cross Point. Morning. Great to see you guys. If I haven't met you before, my name is Skylar. I'm the student ministry director here, and I am glad to be with you. All right. Those are my aunts and uncles over there. And so want to say I'm excited to be here and to jump into week two of our series called The Naked Truth, where we're looking at truth and issues and having an honest conversation about marriage and relationships and what God might have for us in his word. But it's not exclusive to marriage and relationships. If you are single, if you're dating, if you're divorced, if you're widowed, if you are a human being that exists in this room and in this space, there is something for you today. And so last week, Pastor Paul kicked us off by talking about the importance of dealing with our past, healing from the wounds that have impacted us and harmed us so that our marriages can be freed up to be what God has called them to be. And today, I want to look at what it looks like for us to establish respect and care for one another in our marriages. And so what we're going to do is we are going to jump in and we are going to establish some principal foundations for us today. And as we do that, I'm going to use a couple scriptures that are going to be important to us, but I'm not going to spend a ton of time on them, all right? So don't email me and be like, man, you really could have, I know, okay? I just don't have time. But they are going to give us some really helpful foundations today. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with us to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 1. Genesis just means beginning. If you don't know where that is, you can open your Bible and turn a few pages, and you're probably going to find it. It's the first book of the Bible, and we're going to look at how God created creation and his people. Let's start in verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. So this is the pattern of creation that we see in Genesis chapter 1, that nothing is in existence, that God simply speaks. He says, let there be a thing, and that thing suddenly exists. He doesn't use existing materials to fashion a new thing that we've never seen or heard of before. He speaks new ideas into being. It's dark, and he says, let there be light. He did not invent the light bulb. He creates with a power that you and I don't have. And so the rhythm is that he speaks, he creates, and he declares it good. He speaks, he creates, and he declares it good. And this is the pattern of Genesis 1 until we get to humanity. Till we get to humanity, there's a distinction made in the way that God creates humanity. And chapter 2 is kind of a zooming in on that process for us. So I want to jump to Genesis 2, 7, to see a kind of a bit of a unique process in the way that God created humanity. It says that, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. So that's interesting, because we get a more intimate picture of the way that man is created than the rest of all creation. That humanity is not on par with everything else in creation. There is an intimacy, a depth that is unique to humanity. God actually breathes his spirit into the dirt, and humanity is made. So why the intimacy? Why the intimacy with humanity? Why the distinction versus everything else where God just speaks and it exists? Well, let's jump back to Genesis 1. Let's look at verse 26, and it's going to give us why we have a different process here. Verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So the reason that we see an intimacy in the process of creation with humanity is because humans are uniquely created in the image of God. Human beings are uniquely created in the image, in the likeness of God himself. This means that you, by virtue of you being a person that exists, are worthy of dignity, value, honor, and respect. Every one of you, no matter who you are. And we might love this idea, right? Yay, all people matter. But it's more challenging maybe once we start to think about it. Because you know who else has dignity, value, honor, and respect according to this? Everyone you know. The people who frustrate you the most. Everyone in Walmart all the time. We can get more specific. People who even seem far off and imaginary, like celebrities that annoy you. Let's get real specific. Presidents and presidential candidates. And the news anchors that cover them. Worthy of dignity, honor, value, and respect. Because they're made in the image of God. You know who else? Your spouse. Your spouse. Not even a joke, and we're giggling. All right. Oh, politicians, I get it. But him? No. Your spouse is worthy of dignity, value, honor, and respect because they are made in the image of God. And if that's true, if the image of God is true, then that means that we dishonor God when we treat our spouses in an undignified way. Here's the first foundational point. Your spouse is made in the image of God. Far too often there's disrespect in our marriages because we don't view our spouses spiritually. They are made by God. The breath in his lungs poured out into the dirt to create them. He is a spiritual being. She is a spiritual being worthy of dignity, honor, value, and respect. That's the first thing that we've got to agree upon. The second thing is that I want to look in the Bible and see what the Bible says specifically about marriage. It says some things about us individually, but what about specifically about marriage for our second foundational thing? Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, is going to be the passage that refers to marriage specifically, and I just want to pull out a few things specifically before we jump into what are some of the practical things, because the practical doesn't make sense if we don't have a good basis to put it on. So we need this foundation and the next one. Let's look at Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 21. It says this, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And don't miss this next part. This is our second foundation. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So there's a lot there, and I know we don't have time to get into all of it. I just want to address a couple things that we see here. Here's the second foundational piece. Foundation number two is that your marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. Your marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. For us in the church, we understand that we see it through these lenses. It's not just that your spouse is made in the image of God, but there's something uniquely special and serious about a marriage. That in it, God gives us a shadow of his relationship to the church through his son, Jesus. Your spouse is deeply spiritual, and so is your marriage. It's not to be taken lightly. It should be filled with joy and lightheartedness, yes, but it is not a small thing to consider our marriages. There's a spiritual component to our marriage. And I want to point out a couple things. We see in this text, we see that there is a language of mutual submission in our marriage. Mutual submission. And we don't love it, right? We don't love it. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And you're like, I ain't coming back here. They're reading that verse. Look, let's look at the next one. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. And you're like, that's easy. I'm so easy to love. But listen to how. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, we are called to lay ourselves down for the benefit of our spouse and for our marriages. And so we've got to lay that framework before we can talk about practical things that we can do to create and enhance respect in our marriage. We've got to believe that your spouse is spiritual, your marriage is spiritual. In just a minute, we're going to go through some practical things that we can do even today, but soon. I want you to know, as we do that, I'm going to say some things that you are going to be happy your spouse is hearing. Okay? I need you to not tell them you're happy they're hearing it. Okay? Your neck should not suddenly and spontaneously turn to them. Okay? Did you hear that? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do the lady voice. Did you hear that? Right? Like, whatever it is, don't do it. Do not car lecture on the ride home. Don't do that. I know it's silly, but here's what I'm asking you to do. Do not attempt to be for your spouse today the Holy Spirit. Do not attempt to be the Holy Spirit. You're not as good at it as he is. Okay? So we gotta, all right? So keep your neck straight, all right? All right, another thing that we got to agree upon before we get going is that respect is a choice that we make. Because some of you, this is already a hurdle, like a stumbling block. Well, how could I respect him? He never helps with the kids. How could I respect her? All she does is nag me. Listen, like love, respect is also a verb. Yes, you feel it. Yes, you can have admiration. Yes, those things are good. But because your spouse is made in the image of God, they are deserving of you giving them respect. And we've got to agree to that before we get going. We've got to agree to that. All right, you ready? I heard one woo. I am so ready to go. Okay, all right, that's all I need, man. That's all I need. Number one, first thing you can do, change your expectations. Change your expectations. Some of you might have heard me say lower. I didn't say that. In fact, I might have said raise. I want to talk about it. Change your expectations. A lot of times we're unhappy in our marriages because we have unspoken, unrealistic expectations. And unrealistic is, to put it lightly, they are imaginary. You are expecting your spouse to live up to an image portrayed to you in loads of places that is not real, that does not exist. We have to change our expectations from these places of fantasy. We go to these fantasy lands that show us pictures of what a wife, of what a husband is supposed to be like. And we go, yes, that. And it's no wonder you're disappointed in your spouse. We continue to consume loads and loads of content that is harmful to your view of what a wife or what a husband should be like. Men, you cannot expect to continue to consume pornography and have your marriage flourish. You cannot expect to continue to pursue sexually explicit material online and suddenly, one day, you're fully satisfied in your wife. That will never happen because you are forming your brain to think that she should be a thing that does not exist. And you will perpetually be disappointed with your wife and the next one and the next one. And it will not be their fault. Yes, they have issues. But it doesn't matter because even the most amazing, perfect woman could never live up to a standard you have in your mind because it is based in fantasy. You cannot continue to do it. And you might be like, man, look, I don't even really watch porn. I'm like, okay, fine. So you just watched every episode of Game of Thrones because you're into dragons. Right? We find this content everywhere. We find this content everywhere. And my ladies, I heard y'all. I heard them right now. Hey, you do it too. You do it too. Right? You go to all these different places. Well, I don't watch pornography. Yeah, we don't watch it. You don't watch it as much as men, even though you're watching it in historic numbers. Still not as much as men. But did you know, back in 2015, Fifty Shades of Grey grossed $570 million. There were 845 movies released that year. That's the 17th most. Not a lot of men driving up those numbers. Not a lot of men driving. You're like, well, I didn't watch it. I would never. I didn't watch it. Well, great. But you're like, I wonder what it would be like if I was married to Ryan Gosling from The Notebook. I'm not even going to mention your trashy romance novels. I'm being for real, right? Because you have been shaped to fantasize over some imaginary type of man as well. And he will never be that because it is not real. And maybe you're not even aware of you're doing it, but you are. You are. And some of you are uncomfortable because I'm even talking about it, but God help us if our church provides cover for sin that will destroy our marriages because we will not bring it up. When you're thinking about your expectations and how we would change them, let me free you up. Let me give you some freedom. There is nothing out there but fixer-uppers. There's nothing out there. Nothing out there but fixer-uppers. If you can understand, hey, I'm broken. I am sinful. I'm going to make mistakes. What we want is grace and mercy for ourselves and justice for our spouse. But if we can level the playing field and say, as much as I need grace, mercy, and love, I need to give it to my spouse. That I'm going to see them as a real person who has real issues just like me. And I can grow in my ability to extend grace and mercy for them. Our unrealistic expectations will keep us from respecting and honoring our spouse. We good? That's number one. We good? Okay. All right. Okay. Number two, prioritize healthy communication. Prioritize healthy communication. Firstly, about our expectations. We need to be communicating our expectations. Have regular conversations about our expectations. And men are like, I'd love to hear what my wife expects. Listen, I'm coming for you first. Listen. Men, listen to your wives. Hey, ladies, chill. Don't do it. Chill. Hold on. Just the guys. Men, listen to your wives. They are communicating with you. They are communicating to you their desires, their expectations, their disappointments. They are doing that. I know it might feel more subtle than you can see, but listen, you are not prioritizing time with them. And when you're speaking, you're not listening well. You're on your phone. You're not hearing what she says because you want her to stop talking so you can watch the game. You've got to stop doing that. You need to be the world's most leading expert in your wife. You should have a PhD in your wife. Listen and listen well. Listen to your wives. Ladies, but help us out, okay? All right? You don't have to give us everything, but you do have to give us something, all right? And as much as you want him to know you well enough to know what you need, you just got to know maybe he's not there yet, and that would be you knowing him well. As much as you expect him to understand you, you need to understand that he needs some things for you to succeed. Just give him enough to succeed. We just need a boost. Just give us some indication of what your expectations are. My wife is so patient and so gracious in this area. When we were dating, I picked her up to go to a wedding, and she got in the car, and I said, hey, how's it going? And we were going, and I'm thinking about where we're going and where we're going to be, and she seemed a little bit off, and I said, hey, are you okay? And she said, yeah, I'm all right. I said, okay. Went back to whatever I was thinking about. And the thing is that my wife and I have never kind of done that, like, are you good? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. That's never been the thing. And so a couple minutes later, I check again. I said, are you sure is anything bothering you? And she said, yeah, I was just hoping that you would tell me that I look nice. Right? That didn't insult me at all. I didn't get frustrated. I go, oh, it's never enough for you. Nothing I... She's helping me. She's helping me because, you know what? When she got in the car, I thought it. Oh, she looks great. But then I was like, okay, it's going to take 45 minutes to get there, and then we're going to... I lost it. And she just gently communicated to me, hey, I need you to say it. Ladies, help your men out. We need conversations about expectations, but we also need to prioritize healthy communication when it comes to conflict. There's going to be conflict. We need to lay some ground rules. You need to establish what works for you and what doesn't. And some of those will be individually based upon your marriage and what works for you. But what I want to do is I want to give you some absolutes, some universals, some things that just are going to absolutely need to be present in every Christian marriage. There's going to be a few things that we just need. No insults. No insults, no cheap shots. No cheap shots. You know their insecurities. Protect them. You know that button you could push that just causes them to melt into a puddle. Don't do it. Listen, if you're having a conflict and you're in the middle of a conflict and then your tone changes to that weird mocky voice that you have for the other person, oh, yeah, well, every time you do it, you always say, or men, because men, you got one too, you're like, well, every time you say, hey, take the garbage out with it. It's over. If you're doing that, if you're doing stupid voices, it's over. You got to guard your tone. You gotta guard your body language. Don't roll your eyes. You've got to prioritize communication, both spoken and unspoken. Men, do not yell at your wives. And in a room this size, you should never, under any circumstance, ever hit your wife. And if there's an issue, reach out, contact us. We'd love to help. Do not stay in an abusive situation. That should never be on the table. Prioritize healthy communication. Number three, forgive one another. Forgive one another. There's going to be conflict. You're going to sin against one another. You're going to say and do things that you regret. You're going to make mistakes. And so the question we have to answer is, when that's the case, not if, when that's the case, how do we reconcile? How do we come back together? How do we become reunited again? So just some things on that. Say you're sorry. Seek forgiveness. Say that you're sorry. You've got to give up your need to win arguments. Your marriage is not a game, and you should not be keeping score. You've got to give up your need to win arguments. It's going to lead you to forgiveness faster. Men, go first. The Bible calls us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Christ pursued his church before she asked. I can guarantee you, even if the conflict is 99% her fault, you need to rack your brain and you go find that 1% and gently, not smugly, not sarcastically, gently take it to her and go, hey, I was really short with you earlier. I got really frustrated and I lost my temper and I was short with you and I shouldn't have done that. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry and I hope that you'll forgive me. And then you don't go, I don't know if, maybe there's anything you want to say to me. I don't know. That is not an apology. Say you're sorry, mean it. It's for her. Say you're sorry and mean it. Ladies, can I tell you something that my wife does regularly in our relationship that is just, it's so life-giving to me? My wife regularly apologizes to me. She regularly apologizes to me. It helps me know and trust that we can have a real conversation based in reality. I hear a lot of marriage advice from a lot of men. They're like, listen, bro, she's just right. She's just right. Just apologize. She's just right. And I see guys that I guess figure that out. I just truly don't understand how. Like, I don't understand how your framework for your relationship can be that one of you is completely unable to be criticized or wrong about anything. Ladies, it can go a long way to say, hey, I did something that was wrong, and I'm sorry, and I need your forgiveness. Men, Men, you cannot go, yeah, got one, right? Like you can't, but we need it. But we need it, okay? All right, we have to forgive one another. And ladies, you might feel like, well, he hasn't apologized in forever. I haven't heard an apology out of him in I don't know how long. First of all, I just told him to, okay? So I'm with you. I'm with you. Second of all, ladies, he may not be apologizing to you anymore because you are no longer a safe place for him to be vulnerable. He's done apologizing. Because all the times he's apologized, you have used that as ammunition for some future conflict. If he's seeking forgiveness, you've got to be working towards it. You cannot use your husband's foolishness, and I know there's a lot. You cannot use your husband's foolishness as ammunition for a fight 3.5 years from now. He will be all done apologizing to you. We need to forgive one another. Men, do you want reconciliation in your marriage to be in spite of you or because of you? We need to be working towards leading in this area. Number four, encourage one another. Encourage one another. You have a very unique ability to affect your spouse in a way that nobody else does. Nobody else does. Several weeks ago, I got a text from my wife. It was very short. It just said something like, hey, I just want you to know, I'm really thankful to be raising our boys with you. Just absolute wind in my sails that you can never give me. An unbelievable sense of like, okay, all right, like my tank is full now. Like, let's go get this. Let's do this. But she could have thought it and not sent it. Ladies, I need you to know that men, we just feel like we're failing. Just all the time. And maybe he wouldn't say it, and maybe somebody else wouldn't, but we just feel like we're failing a lot. And you have the ability to just with a few words to just fill up our tanks. To fill up our tanks if you'll choose to. A small encouragement can go a long way. Men, just say amazing things about your wife. Be speaking life over your wife. Notice your wife's appearance. Hey, are those new shoes? Is that a new dress? Did you get a new haircut? Pro tip, you don't even have to be right. Is that a new haircut? No, but I did. It does look different today, right? Like, it's a win. It's a win because here's what's actually happening. You're practicing noticing and you're practicing telling her. And that's the issue, because you're not practicing noticing and you never practice telling her because you don't notice. So be on the lookout. Wake up and be like, what can I notice about my wife today? And say it. Be in the practice of noticing. Be in the practice of saying it. When we talk about encouragement, speak well of one another to other people. Do not dog your spouse to your friends and your family. Do not dog your spouse to other people. Don't do that mocking voice. Men, when you're talking to your friends, share things to your friends about your wife that you love. Man, she is so great and so this. My wife is such a gift. I'd be lost if it wasn't for this and that. If that's weird for you to do amongst your friends, get new ones. Just get new ones. You need to have a place where people honor and respect your marriage, and we need to do it regularly. Ladies, if you want to see my head explode, that thing that ladies will do sometimes, not you, but sometimes where they'll be like, no, I've got 3 kids. I have 2 babies and my husband. And at the same time, you'll wonder, you know, I don't know why he won't just step up and lead our family. Because you're dogging him. As we encourage one another, you will see your spouse rise to the level of your encouragement. You will see them rise to the level of your encouragement. Don't make jokes about one another unless you're both in on it. Not at each other's expenses. We've got to encourage one another. Number 5, pursue the Lord together. And this is the thing that holds all the rest of it together. Because you can do all the practical tips, you can read the books, you can find all that stuff, and that'll be fine. But it's going to be hard for you to continually respect someone without viewing them spiritually. And then you also need to know that as you pursue the Lord together and separately, you will become more patient with your spouse because you will be growing in your trust of God. And you'll be believing that God is going to do something in your spouse that you could never manipulate them to do, that you could never guilt them into do, that you could never bully them into do, because you would believe that God is doing something. Remember, your spouse is made in the image of God. Remember, your marriage is a shadow of the gospel, the relationship between Jesus and his church. Ladies, God's plans for your husband are better than yours. They're almost certainly not as fast, but they're better. Men, who would you become if you started believing that your role as a husband, as a father, was a calling and not a burden? Who would we be if we leaned into what God has for us as husbands, wives, and in our marriages? And for some of you, like, you might be realizing that this is the missing piece. You're seeing, if you were to go back and view your life, you would see just a stack of relationships that have been broken and ruined, just a pile of horizontal relationships that have been destroyed. Maybe you've just run through cycle after cycle of friend. Maybe it's marriage after marriage after marriage. And you've gone, gosh, I don't know what it is. I just can't find a good woman, can't find a good man. And the reality is that you have been expecting something of them that they won't fulfill. You have not understood who they are in God's eyes or what marriage is meant to be. And your vertical image, your vertical relationship with God is thrown off, and it's affecting your horizontal relationships. And you need to know God's will for your life and your relationships. And maybe it's not even that. Maybe that today you come in and the idea that you're made in the image of God and worthy of dignity, honor, and respect, maybe this is the first time that has ever hit you in the heart. And you have come in here feeling beat down because maybe a spouse, maybe an ex, maybe a family member has made you feel like you do not have worth and value. And I am here to tell you today that the truth of God's word is that he made you and he created you, and he looks upon you and he wonders, and you are made in his image and he loves you. And we see that most fully displayed in Jesus. That Jesus came, and like we read about in Ephesians, he pursued his church. He came for his bride before she knew that she needed it. And he came, he descended from heaven. He left the glory of the Father. He lived a perfect life. He was born into the dust that you and I were created out of. He lived a perfect life. And he went to the cross for you on your behalf because of your sin. And you might have loads of issues. You might have tons of needs, but your greatest need, your greatest need is forgiveness of your sins. And if you don't know Jesus in that way, if you're not familiar with him like that, we want you to take that step today. We want you to know Jesus in that way today. And so what we're going to do, if we would bow our heads and close our eyes just for intimacy and privacy, we just want to extend to you that opportunity. If you don't know the Lord that way, we want you to take that step today and to say yes to Jesus. And so in a second, I'm going to pray. And you can pray these words, or you can pray words like these. But what we want to do is we want to just respond. We want to be responding to God's call over your life, that you would submit to him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I come to you, and I declare today that I believe that you're good. I believe in your son, Jesus. I believe that he is the Savior, that he was born and that he died. And I believe, God, that he rose again to victory for me, for my life, for my marriage, for my burdens. And God, I lay my sin down. I ask that you would forgive me of my sin. God, I turn away from it. I ask that you would help me to stay away from it. Draw me closer to you. Empower me through your Holy Spirit to walk in the newness of life that you have for me. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, we'd love you to grab the connect card from the seat back in front of you and just check that response, that you prayed to follow Jesus for the first time today. And on your way out, you can leave it in the drop boxes in the back of the auditorium. You can leave it in the lobby as well. We'd love to know that you've taken that step and how we can partner with you. The second next step for today is that I will have a conversation with my spouse about our marriage. I'll have a conversation with my spouse about our marriage. It doesn't matter how good you're doing. Let's just do a check-in. Let's check in to see, hey, what am I doing well? What do I need to improve on? And I just want to let you know, you're going to want to wait until you're ready to hear some honest feedback. And you're going to want to take some time to think about what your feedback is and how you'll say it in a way that they can hear. Do not get in the car and go, I got 11 things for you to improve. Also, that's too many for this one. Some of you have never had this conversation. Some of you have never done it. You need to do it. Hey, what do I do really well? Let's encourage one another and go, okay, what do you need from me? What do you need more from me? Start with a couple things and then own those. As you hear her, your spouse, as you hear him, your husband, as you hear him say, this is an area where I think that we can improve. Take that to the Lord. Ask God to help you. Ask God him to build you up together. Have a conversation with your spouse soon, soon. We see our marriages grow and flourish more when we walk alongside other people. Whether we're single, whether we're dating, whether we're engaged, whether we're married, whether we're divorced, whatever it is, we want to encourage you to step into community, that we don't want to do life alone. And so you have the opportunity to sign up to join a growth group. And you can be a part of community and walk alongside other couples, other singles, other divorced, other widows, whatever it is, and say, how has God met you in your life? What might he do here? And for some of you, you've been coming to growth groups for several semesters. We'd love for you to attend our growth group leader training today after the third service to see what it would look like for you to step into that area of leadership, to answer the call, to facilitate further community in our church, and that we would watch God continue to be faithful to do greater and greater things. Last next step is that we'll memorize Genesis 1:26 that says this, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Ladies and gentlemen, you are created in the image of God. He has more for you than you can imagine. Your worth, dignity, value, honor, and respect, so is your spouse. May our marriages be a place where Christ is lifted up, our spouses are benefited, our families flourish, and our community comes together. Thank you so much for listening. I'd love to meet you in the first time guest lounge. Let's pray together. Father, we are so grateful that you give us the gift of marriage, relationships, families, and that you, Father, meet us where we are, no matter where we are in life. I thank you for every marriage represented here. And I just ask, God, that you would protect them, that you would watch over them. Where marriages are faltering, where they are weak, I ask that you would shore them up, that you would bring your foundations into these marriages. Give them patience to know that you are doing something that they can't anticipate. Draw them near to you. Work in a powerful way. Be with everyone here, that they would know and understand your goodness deeper. We ask these things in your name. Amen.